Greetings in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I trust you have read Joshua chapter 22, verse 10 to 34. So we will not read this passage again. The topic is My Brother's Keeper. This topic will help us understand a little better what the church means to me and what we mean to one another as children of the living God. In Joshua chapter 22, verse 9, we are told of 2.5 tribes of the nation of Israel, for by now they are a nation. Before they conquer the land of Israel, they had the people, they had the constitution, but they do not have the land. But now, after the conquest, after the division of the land by lot, they are indeed a nation. But they have to send 2.5 tribes across the River Jordan. Why? In verse 9, we are told by name that these 2.5 tribes were the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. They had to return and depart from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go unto the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed, according to the word of the Lord, by the hand of Moses. Now I'd like to show you a transparency of the division of the land by lot of the 12 tribes of Israel. You can see where Shiloh is. That's where they were congregated. You can see the River Jordan. You have Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh on the eastern side of the River Jordan. This part is called Transjordan area, or the land of Gilead. On the western side, Canaan, is called Cisjordan. And so now 2.5 tribes, they have to return. Why? In order to know the historical background, please turn with me to Numbers 32. Numbers 32. They have conquered the two kings of Gilead, namely Og and Sihon. And it so happened that these 2.5 tribes fell in love with the land of Gilead. And so in chapter 32 of Numbers, they made a request to Moses, who was their leader then. And this was their request. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the land was a place for cattle. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest, and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrath and Heshbon and Elealeh and Sheban and Nibor and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad, unto the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord had given them? And thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land, for when they went up unto the land of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun. For they have wholly followed the Lord, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. So when these 2.5 tribes requested from Moses that they remain in the land of Transjordan, Moses raised a very valid objection against their heart's desire. Because if you remain in the land, this will surely discourage the 10 tribes who will have to cross over and fight the land of Canaan, the enemies that were there. Because they too would also desire to live on this side. And if these 10 tribes do not cross over, that would be against the word of God. And do you not remember how when we first sent 12 tribes from Kadesh Barnea to enter into the land of Canaan to recce the place, and they came back and 10 of the spies discouraged the multitude of Israelites, and all 20 years and above perished in the wilderness. And so by what you are doing, you will discourage the 10 tribes from crossing and obeying the word of God. And this was their reply. Look at verse 16. Now it came from their own lips, not Moses. Verse 16. And they came near unto him, that is Moses, and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle, and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel, until we have brought them unto their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance, for we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen on us on this side Jordan eastward. So this was the arrangement. Our women and children and livestock, they will remain in Transjordan. We will build cities for them, because we will accompany the 10 tribes across the river Jordan and conquer the land of promise together with them. But we need to protect our families and the livestock. So please allow us to build four around our livestock to keep them in, and then cities for our loved ones' protection. But we will go and we will not return until the 10 tribes have been given their own land, just as us. Verse 20, this was Moses' reply. Did he accept their position? And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build you cities for your little ones, and folds for your sheep, and do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But thy servants will pass over every man armed for war before the Lord to battle, as my Lord said. So concerning them, Moses commanded Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben will pass with you over Jordan, every man armed to battle before the Lord, and the land shall be subdued before you, then ye shall give them the land of Gilead for a possession. But if they will not pass over with you armed, they shall have possession among you in the land of Canaan. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, as the Lord hath said unto thy servants, so will we do. We will pass over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan, and the possession of our inheritance on this side Jordan may be ours. And Moses gave unto them even the children of Gad, and to the children of Reuben, and unto the half tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land, with the cities thereof in the coast, even the cities of the country round about. And so the agreement was made, and in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua reminded the fighting men of Gad, the half tribe of Manasseh, and Reuben. Remember what you promised Moses. Now that Moses was dead, they were about to cross over and to fight the battle. Joshua chapter 1, verse 12. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Unto the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. Verse 16 to 18. Describe for us the reply of the 2.5 tribes. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. And so, they went, and after about 7 to 8 years of fighting, Israel now possessed the land. The land had been distributed to the 12 tribes by lot. The 48 cities plus 6.5 cities of refuge had been given to the tribe of Levi. And so it was now time for the 2.5 tribes to return to their family, whom they have not seen for over 7 to 8 years. These brethren had fought side by side against a common enemy, the Canaanites. And they were victorious. And they were good brethren together in battle. And it was now time for them to depart. But please look at verse 10. For in verse 10, we will see a shattering of this relationship, whereby if it is not carefully dealt with, brethren will have to fight against brethren, and brethren will have to kill brethren. What happened in verse 10? And when they came unto the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. Why did the 10 tribes react so fiercely against what these 2.5 tribes did? All they did was simply to build an altar. Could their bond with one another be so fragile that it was only there because of the common enemy that they had? Now that the common enemy is gone, that they were so quick and ready to fight with one another, simply because of this altar that was made? For we know of this kind of relationships, do we not? When Joshua entered into the land of promise, the northern kings and the southern kings ganged up together to fight against Israel. But prior to that, they fought against one another. Now that they have a common enemy, they were prepared to lay aside all their internal problems and come together and fight it. Israel. Supposing they had won and Israel had been defeated, they will fight against one another. Was this the problem with Israel? Or perhaps like in the days of the Second World War, when America and Russia had Nazi Germany as the common enemy. After Nazi Germany was defeated, very soon, the US of A fought against Russia. And it was only recently that the Cold War was said to have ceased. Was this the kind of bond that the brethren of Israel had with one another? I do not think so. From this passage which we have read, you realize that the bond that Israel had was not because of the common enemy, the Canaanites. Their bond was because of what God had done for them. God had called them out of Israel, out of Egypt, to become a nation. Their common bond was because they had one God, one faith, one religion. That was the bond that brought them together, and that was the bond that they wanted to keep intact. And that's why they were so fierce against this 2.5 tribes, which they thought had sinned against God. But before that, they had to ensure that it was a case of sin and not a case of misunderstanding. And so, brethren, why are we here in this congregation? Is it because we have a common enemy that is the world outside that brings us together? Or because we have the common faith, the one God, the one Lord, the one baptism of the Holy Spirit, one God, our Heavenly Father, as what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus, that brought us together? And if it is because of the one salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ that brought us all together in spite or despite our many, many different backgrounds, our different standing in society, all these are reduced to nothing in the house of God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. If this is our bond, then we must ensure that our relationship, our care and our love for one another stands true. Because if it is because of the world that we come in here, when we are not affected by the world anymore, does that mean that we will now fight with one another because there is no more common enemy? Let that not happen to us. Let that not happen to this congregation. It is a very, very rare thing to find a church that is sound. I've said that before, and I'll say that again. Very rare indeed to find a congregation where the Word of God is preached. And if the Lord tarries, then this present generation is dead and gone. And we go back to the Lord. Do we not want our children to have a church where the Word of God is faithfully preached? Do you not want to remain here and preserve a church for your children? And God willing, for your children's children, if the Lord tarries, that they can not only hear the Word of God, but be nurtured in the most holy faith. For we know what the onslaught of the world is like and the onslaught of the evil one is like. They are ever prepared and ready to snatch our people and cause each one of us to stumble and to fall. For the Bible says that Satan is like a roaring lion, watching, ready to see whom he can devour. That is the evil one. And if our bond and our attitude and our understanding of the church is merely just this building, then we have misunderstood the significance of the salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a bond of brotherly kindness, brotherly love, that is sealed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to everyone who has been born again. And we must give that person the benefit of the doubt. If the person says, I have received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, whether the person says it honestly or deceitfully, it is not for us to judge because we cannot read hearts. If the person says that he has believed, then we have to accept at face value what that person says. And that person is our brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ at this point in time, in this life, in our relationship one with another. And that was the primary focus, that these 10 tribes were prepared to kill even their own brethren, because the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was on the line. Because they thought that these 2.5 tribes have sinned. You see, to fight with one another for 7 to 8 years is no small thing. When you fight against a common enemy alongside one another, you have entrusted your life to your brethren. True? Because if he plays you out, if he chickens out at the heat of battle and he runs away, you are left on your own. You will die. But these brethren, whom they have fought with side by side for these 7 to 8 years, if they have sinned, if they really love them, they were prepared to go to war with them. Look at their reason. It was not a light thing for them to do. I'm sure they loved them. It is because of love that they want to ensure that no sin be found in the house of God. Please, look at verse 11, and we will see the response of the people. Verse 13. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, who have already crossed over, into the land of Gilead. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, he will lead the group, and with him 10 princes of each house, each chief house, a prince, throughout all the tribes of Israel. So 10 leaders, one from each tribe. And each one was an head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. Now this is what they said. Verse 15. They came unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead, and they spake with them, saying, Thus said the whole congregation of the Lord, What trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded you an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? So this was the reason. They thought that these 2.5 tribes had built an altar in their property, in their land, to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings as an alternate place of sacrifices to God. What's wrong with that? Well, what is wrong is that it has contravened the word of God. Please turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Verse 1 to 7. Deuteronomy 12, 1 to 7. These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land. Okay, they have not entered into the land yet, but when you enter into the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that ye live upon the earth, ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire, and ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. That means all other places of worship must be completely destroyed. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes. Now note, the place, singular, there will be only one place of worship, because there is only one God, one way of salvation, one way to approach God. Only the place God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. Okay? All must come to only one place, and thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heap offerings of your hand and your vows and your freewill offerings and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And there shall ye eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. And where was this place located? Joshua 18 verse 1 tells us that this was the place that God had appointed after they have entered into the land of promise. Joshua 18 verse 1. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. So Shiloh was that place. And so these 10 tribes, based upon the word of God, thought that the 2.5 tribes had sinned against God by making an alternate place of worship. And they were very, very serious. So much so that they were prepared to fight against their own brethren, if need be, in order that sin will not be in the midst of God's people. Because they know from past experiences that when brethren sin, all will bear that sin. When there is sin in the camp, many will die. Not just those who sin, but all will bear the blame. That's what it means to be brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is this mutual accountability because of what Jesus Christ has done for you and what he has done for me. And we all must remember this mutual accountability that we have for one another. But first, we must make sure that it is based upon the word of God. And so, the 10 tribes reminded the 2.5 tribes in verse 17, is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? In Baal Peor, or Peor, Numbers 25, verse 1 to 9. Balaam taught Balak in Numbers 25 how to get the Israelites punished by God himself. Get them to commit adultery, fornication, send into their midst women, daughters of Moab. That's exactly what they did. Numbers 25, verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the men of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the men of Israel and the woman through the belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. But by then, how many died? And those that died in the plague were 24,000. They understood from first-hand experience what sin can do to their own people. God is no respecter of persons. God will judge. And so this incident, iniquity of Peor, was cited by the leaders of this 10 tribes to remind the 2.5 tribes, beware of sin in our midst. It is not just you who sin, but all of us who bear the brunt of your sin. The shame will be upon all of us, not just you alone. And brotherly kindness must cause all of us to have the same kind of concern and burden, because the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is borne by all of us. Verse 20, second example. Did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel? Another example to press home the point. Yes, Achan and his family were stoned to death because they kept and stole things that belonged only to God. When they conquered the city of Jericho, the Lord told Joshua and the people, all that in the city is under harem. That means they are under a curse. They belong only to God. You are not to take anything. But Achan thought otherwise. He saw the gold, he saw the Babylonian tunic, and he took them. And Israel, when they attacked Ai because of sin in their midst, 32 Israelites died. Then the children of Reuben,
and the children of God, and the tribe, half tribe of Manasseh explained. We understand, they said. The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know. If it be in rebellion, or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day, let us die. That we have built an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer thereon burnt offerings or meat offerings, or if to offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come, your children might speak unto our children, saying, we, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben and children of Gad, ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord. So that was the significance of the altar. It was never meant to replace the tabernacle that was located in Shiloh as the only place for sacrifices. It was merely a witness between the 2.5 tribes and the 9.5 tribes. That in the generations to come, perhaps one day your larger tribes may say to our smaller group that the River Jordan is supposed to be a border to cut you off from coming into our land. So we have built this altar as a reminder for generations to come, in order that our people may cross over and come into Shiloh to worship God in the tabernacle. That they will not remove themselves from following God. We have built this altar as a witness that we are one people. First, the 9.5 tribes, the 10 princes, gave them the benefit of the doubt before they attacked. They could have attacked first, but because they want to make sure, very sure, that the word of God has been contravened first before they attack. Because they understood the consequences of sin in the midst of Israel. And having given them the benefit of the doubt, and having explained to them the past history of sin in the camp and God's judgment, they listened to the explanation of these 2.5 tribes. And the last few verses describe for us, in verse 30, it pleased them. And Phinehas, verse 31, the son of Eleazar the priest said, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. We are brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give one another the benefit of the doubt. And if an explanation has been given, accept that explanation at face value. We cannot read hearts. If our decisions are not based upon the Word of God, but based upon our own misunderstanding, our own senses, which are very fallible, and we make judgment based upon subjective, personal reasons, we hurt ourselves and we hurt the other person. We must judge based only upon the objective, inerrant, infallible, divinely inspired word. Now notice, the leaders were sent to make the judgment. Could it have been a few out of the 2 over million inhabitants who were not happy with the decisions? Perhaps, we are not told. They might have been unhappy with what was done to the 2.5 tribes. But the leaders made the decision, having heard the explanation of the 2.5 tribes. Were the 2.5 tribes sincere? Only time will tell. But they, at this point in time, have to accept the explanation of the 2.5 tribes, because they have a case. They were afraid that in generations to come, their children may be barred from crossing the River Jordan to worship God in the tabernacle in Shiloh. But they have to learn to accept the decision of their leaders. If the leaders had made the wrong decision, they would know that the decision made by the leaders in this lifetime is only temporary. If supposing you are right and the leaders are wrong, if the 2.5 tribes never meant the altar to be a witness but a place for burnt offerings, and you are right, rest assured that in the day of judgment, the judge of all judges, the Lord Jesus Christ, will hold them accountable. They will not escape. But in the meantime, we have to accept what they say. And they did. They did. Likewise, in our context, isn't it? Decisions made by the leaders are very, very hard. But leaders must learn always to make decisions based only upon the scriptures. Only upon the word of God, not personal feelings. And if according to the scriptures decisions have been made, and members felt that we have made the wrong decision, do not leave. Because when you leave, you go to another church. That speaks very, very little bit of our brotherly love for one another. And when you leave, for example, to another church, you think that church will not have leadership problems, will not have problems. And then the same thing happens again. What do? You leave again. And then the next church you go to will have the same thing again. You're going to leave again. Where is it going to stop? How do we see this church? How do we see one another? There will definitely be problems. Election is coming, end of this year. Elect into leadership. Men of good report and men filled with the Holy Ghost. Elect men whom you know will make decisions based upon the very Word of God itself. The objective Word of God. We are not saying that leaders will not make mistakes. We will try not to make mistakes. But when mistakes are made, please bear in mind that our judgment is only temporary. God one day will hold all of us accountable for every judgment we make on this earth. Please, give one another the benefit of the doubt first. The Bible says, esteem one another better than ourselves. Think of the other person because of Jesus' sake. And make all judgments based upon the scriptures. They did. And because both parties were based upon the Word of God was not contravened, they departed in peace. Our loyalty, first and foremost, must always be to our God, not to one another's relationship. If you know that someone has committed a sin, you must confront that person out of love for that person. Because in time to come, that sin will be found out. And that person will be shamed, will be punished. And not only that person, but all of us who belong to the same congregation will also have to bear the brunt of that shame. And so out of love for God and for that person, you must point out the sin of that person as soon as you know it. Don't let it blossom. Nip it in the bud. Don't tell it to someone who has nothing to do with that sin of that brethren. That is gossip. Talk to that brethren personally, with much prayer, with much love. And if the person refuses, Matthew 18 gives us the steps. Bring 2 or 3 witnesses. Bring the brethren in, the leaders of the church in. And then finally, if the person persists in the sin, excommunication. Excommunication is not punishment. Please bear that in mind. It is chastisement, hoping that separation from fellowship with one another, separation from Christian love, partaking of the Lord's Supper, that person may see the seriousness of the sin that he has committed and come back to the Lord. That's the purpose. How strong is the brotherly love and kindness in this church? If it is, then we have a duty to be our brother's keeper. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee for the salvation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We acknowledge, O Lord, that it is only in Him and through Him and because of Him that we have eternal life. We are called the children of the living God. And as Thou hast saved each one of us, help us to exhibit the same love one for another, the same kind of love that Thou hast shown toward us. And by our love for one another, may others come in and see that God indeed is in this place. forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.